Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad I came today. Aren't you glad you came?
Amen.
I want to read some scripture from Psalm 111. Psalm 111. From the NIV. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are steadfast forever and ever, done in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And don't you say amen to that. My, holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We're glad to have Scott Shewell with us today, who has just arrived at Camp Adrian to be one of the staff there, one of the workers. And it's so good to have Brother Shewell with us this morning. Brother Shewell, wave at me so people know who you are, right there in the middle back here. And also on his left is Mr. Ben Mann, who was here last summer working at Camp Adrian, and he's back again this year. And by the way, I just found out or was reminded that he is graduating high school right now from homeschooling. So what a good place to be on Graduate Sunday. And we're proud of him, and he's called to the ministry and is pursuing that call. Well, among our visitors, and I want to lift again what we have read here this morning, holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. And I have a sermon to preach here this morning, but I'm going to put it aside for a moment or two or three or five or ten or whatever. And I want you to have the opportunity to meet a lady who has come to be with us recently. Rowanella Jackson is her name, and I'm going to ask her nephew, Jimmy Price, if he will escort her here to the front, and I think we'll just get right down here. Can you see down here okay? I'm told sometimes it's hard to see when you're down on the floor, and she's much shorter than I am. But as Rowanella comes, I want to read to you what her Sunday school teacher from up in Midland Valley, South Carolina, Church of the Nazarene, wrote me. And by the way, Midland Valley is one of the largest Churches of Nazarene in the South. How many do they have in attendance, Ronella, do you know? Okay, probably 600 and 700, something like that. And this says, bring her around here if you would, Jimmy. Just wanted to let you know of a dear saint who has moved to your area from the Midland Valley, South Carolina church. As I understand it, thank you, Jimmy. I'll just bring you here next to me. Is that okay? And he'll sit there on the front pew. And I'm going to finish here in just a second. She is a very special person. You will find out for yourself. And you definitely need to be on her prayer list. That's what your Sunday school teacher said. She has been in my senior adult Sunday school class, and we are going to miss her greatly, but we will be keeping in touch. Now, let me tell you two or three things about Ronella here. And you may want to interrupt me at any point here. She is Ronella, R-O-E-N-E-L-L-A. Did I get that right? She's named for short, Nella,
Granny Jackson,
and Shorty. Okay, all right, okay. Now, I want to give a little bit of the family connection before we get started here, okay? How many remember Bernice Reiner? By the way, the last I knew, Bernice is still in the hospital in Savannah, having suffered a fall and a broken hip, I think, and needs our prayers. Bernice is the oldest one of the four that remain. And then Ronella is second. And then there is Marie, who's in Florida. And then Hazel Price. Hazel is the baby of the crowd, of those who remain. Okay, so she is Hazel Price's sister. Now, in 1963, you went to Langley, South Carolina, or the Augusta area, which it is just across the border.
Langley.
Okay. And you felt led by God?
Yes.
To go over to that area, and you have been for 45 years.
Right.
In the Langley Church, which later turned into the Midland Valley Church. And she was frustrated about her family in other places because she wanted to be a witness to her family. But the Lord told her, if you obey me and stay here, you felt like it was God's will.
It was.
I will take care of your family. Yes. I will save your family. And so she got into the Church of the Nazarene. And you especially appreciated not just being saved, but also
being sanctified.
Okay. Good preaching. All right. You take it from there. Tell me about how you felt led to that church for that reason.
Well, I was seeking God's will for my life. I was a young person. I hadn't been married, and I had to work hard. We worked in the mill, and that was 6 and 7 days a week. And so every time I'd get a chance to go, I'd go to the Baptist church though in the corner. And I tell people everywhere I go that the first time God spoke to me was in that Baptist church. Had he called me home that night, I would have been ready because he forgave me of my sins. But I couldn't keep my life in a straight row enough to go out and witness to others to tell them that Jesus loved them. And he died for them, and he wanted them to love him. So from there, I went to the Langley Church of the Nazarene on Sunday night. And if I could be in Langley this morning, of course, the old church is not, we don't go there anymore. But I could point out a place right along in there telling you that's where God came. He sanctified my heart. And that was what it took to get me to going. And every now and then I have to tell people, it's not the church, it's not the denomination, but it's the Holy Spirit that goes to the heart that makes you do what God wants you to do. And I have praised him many, many days for his sanctifying power.
Now, would it be better, Brother Robert, if we used a hand mic? Okay. It's just pretty alive right here, isn't it, in this section of that thing. Can everybody hear okay? All right. Now, let me mention something else here in the process that will help you appreciate this woman more. She has macular degeneration.
Yes.
And you're legally blind, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, so she cannot see except just color and forms and so on. And so that helps you to appreciate her all the more. And she's gone on and serves the Lord with happiness now. Okay, so you were a Sunday school teacher and a bus worker. Tell us about that in the old Langley Church.
Well, after God saved me, after He sanctified my heart, filled it full of the Spirit, I began to work with the children in Sunday school, and I'd go out and visit them. And we were still working six, and of course the seventh day come in when they thought that you just had to double up one, and whether you wanted to or not. And but I prayed many nights, Lord, please help us not to have to work 6 days a week. I want to work among the bus children as well as the children within the church, because we had a lot of children that needed a lot of love that I had come in contact with. And don't tell me that God don't answer prayer, because He answered that prayer. In about 2 weeks, we wasn't working on Saturday anymore. So that made me have all day Saturday that I could go out and visit boys and girls in the homes. And I told Pastor Wise, I said, there was a lot of times I knocked on them doors that I didn't know whether a gun, iron, or something would come through that door, because I didn't know what was behind it. But a boy or a girl would tell me, oh, I'd love to go with you to Sunday school. They were little tots, but you'll have to ask my mama. And I'd knock on the door, and they would be so kind and gentle, and some of them would tell me they was fixing to get back into the church, but then someone would let them go with us. But God worked in me in a mysterious way, I think, on loving children like that. And I done that for many years, as long as we had the bus ministry. And after I retired in 1986, I wanted to come home. But that's what Brother Wise has just said, is the Lord promised me that He would save my family if I would work for Him there. And I told Him, Lord, I want to work with children. And He said, no, I want you to work with adults, the older generation, the younger generation, whoever you come in contact with. I want you to praise and thank me and try to win them. And I can tell you, I had 2 months of no tears. Tears is my joy. When you see tears on my face, it's not because I'm sad. It's because I'm happy, because God loves me. But He took my joy away from me for 2 months before I would say to Him, Lord, if it takes me visiting old people. And He reminded me, you'll soon be old yourself. And I said, I know, Lord, but I don't want to visit. I don't want to visit the older generation. But I was obedient. The song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way. And that's absolutely the truth, because when I said, yes, Lord, I will work with the older generation. And many a time is homebounds. You go into the homes where people were sick, it seemed like nobody cared. Just a smile, or a little something extra for them to eat, or just sit down and share scripture with them. Whatever the Lord put on your heart, and it was so easy. And I said, well, Lord, I guess I was just fighting you too hard. And after I got through with that, was, you know, I went on doing this and going to the nursing home and assisted living, and it was a pleasure to go in a room where a person wasn't able to get out for any activities whatsoever. But I could walk up to the bed and I'd tell him, God still loves you, and I love you. And I could see a smile come over their face. Sometimes we'd talk about the scripture, and sometimes I'd talk to them a few minutes. But there was a lot of times they couldn't talk to me. But I could see the smile, knowing that they did love the Lord, and they was appreciative of somebody coming to the bedside and telling them how much God loved them. But I went from that to, He promised me this, that if I love these people like He wanted me to, He had something special for me. And the special came in the first part of January of 1987, and that was to be a foster grandparent down at Jefferson Elementary. And how they kept up with me down there, I don't really know how they put up with me. But those boys and girls, I loved them, and they loved me, and they'd they'd step out the line to love me as I was be going down the hall. And I'd say, can't do that. So I'd walk over to them and love them and let them keep marching along while they were walking. And 4 and 5 Ks was so fascinating. One morning I came in and two little girls was coming down the hall, and I said, "How are the two beautiful young ladies doing this morning?" And I reached over and loved them, and they loved me back. And I said, "You all have a good day." And I turned to leave, and I heard somebody say, "Granny Jackson." I turned back, and the biggest little girl, said to me, "Well, Granny, how are you doing today?" I like to die there that morning, thinking that they had really noticed that I had taken time to ask them how they were doing that morning. Who knows how many that we asked that? But what didn't need that, because we don't know what kind of home life they had.
And you were in the second grade how many years?
20. If I could have went on 2 more months, it'd been 21 years.
21 years.
And I loved every minute of it.
And they teased her, "You never did get past the second grade."
That was my niece. Said, "Nana, why is Aiden Dale being in second grade for 20 years?" But however, it's always a blessing to work with children. And now that I can't see, is most of the time I don't bother them, because, you know, I don't want to disturb them. But the kids in the school never forgot me. They would ease up by me and tell me that they loved me. And when I started to leave, 4th, 5th, 3rd, 2nd, 1st, all of them would meet me in the hall on the way up to the dining room, and they'd say, "Please don't leave us." And I said, "Honey, I will have to leave. I'm just to the point that I can't go." I never would tell them I couldn't see, but they knew I couldn't, because they'd get close enough to me that I could tell it was a young girl or a boy, whichever. It didn't make any difference, but sometimes you like to know, because boys, it's hard to tell you that they love you. But those guys didn't seem to mind. But it's been a blessing to love and serve Jesus and to walk the way he wanted me to walk. And I've shared it with many people. And one day when I get to heaven, I would always tell my little old people, "You'll be at the eastern gate waiting on me. And if you're not there, I'm going to wait for you to get there to tell you, welcome home. We've made it."
Well, yesterday when I went up to the resident home where she's living now, she was sitting with a lady on the porch.
Yes.
And you've only been there, what, 2 weeks now? Something like that.
Two or three weeks.
And that woman looked at me and smiled real big and said, "She's good." And then another woman was trying to come out the door and get in on it. And she said, "Come out here, sweetie. We'll make a place for you, too." And so every time I leave Ronella, every time I leave her, I have an extra sense of God's presence. Seriously. And I told her the other day, "Did you get your phone hooked up?" This was probably, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
"And are you going to give your number out?" And she said, "Okay." I said, "You better rest up a few weeks before you give your number out." Because there are a lot of people out there that want someone to pray for them who can touch heaven. And Ronella can do that.
I have different ones that I left behind that were sick, that I had a visit, that I had prayed for. There's a lot of days that I sit and with these on my mind, you know, and I can pray for them. And even the girl ahead of the nurses this morning when I started out, she said, "Now, will you pray for me today while you're in church?" I said, "I will." So it's a new thing for me to be among the older generation at all times. But I thank God that because he brought me this far, because I'm with the family, they love me and support me. And the office bunch always, after they found out I was going to leave, they said, "Well, Granny," said, "you've had, this was your second journey, and now you're being on your third journey." I said, "And then that way I'm going home, okay?" But life has been good. And I was just thinking about that psalm that he was reading. I would praise him in the morning. I would praise him in the noontide and at night. Anytime during the night I wake up, I'm praising the Lord instead of letting Satan just drag me down the valley. So y'all pray for me, because I need it too.
Amen. Amen. Thank I'm going to pray for you, okay?
Aye, sir.
And then I want you to pray for me and for us. Are you up to that?
I'll try.
You'll try. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Ronella. She is a living witness today to the fact that whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever our circumstances, you can use our lives for your glory, and that we can show forth the beauty and love of Jesus Christ. I pray a fresh blessing upon her right now, Heavenly Father. Anoint her, dear God, with the touch of heaven. You're able to even heal her eyes. We ask you, Lord, to touch her eyes and to touch her in every way and share with her in her ministry. It's not easy doing the things she does, but she gladly does it because she loves you. And so we pray your richest blessing upon her. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Father, excuse me. Father, what a blessing it is to stand and call upon your name and praise you and thank you for another beautiful Sabbath day that we were able to come to the church of God. We know that you had plans and reasons, and we ask you, Father, to continue to show us the way. And we thank you, Lord, for this church family, for what they've been to our family over the few of years, and for the many blessings that they've been to them. And we ask the continuous blessing on them day by day, Lord, that you'll renew the strength and the love for one another, and to love one another as you have loved them. We think about these things as we would pray and talk with the people in the nursing home, the CNAs and nurses, as we would remind them that we're to love one another as Christ has loved us. And we just praise you and thank you that we're in a church family that loves us and that can care for us and can be there for us if we need them. And we ask you especially for the ministers of the church as they reach out to others, that you'll bless them and strengthen them and uplift them. Again, we want to tell you that we love you so much, and we thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And we're praising you for the days ahead that we'll be able to reach out to others and tell them how much God loves them, and that we can love them too, because this was what the Lord had in store for us when he sent us this way.
Amen.
Now we pray, Lord, that continuing to this service, your name will be lifted above all other names, for it's in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, and so any of those names are in order? Now, they called you Shorty at the mill.
At the mill.
At the weaving mill.
And all up and down through the valley. But the school called me Miss Jackson or either Granny Jackson.
Okay. Miss Jackson or Granny Jackson.
Right. It doesn't matter. Right. I tell them, when people would ask me about my name, I said, look, it really doesn't matter what you call me, because I said, God knows me by Ronella. Now, you can call me Nell, Nella, Ronella, Shorty, or just, who are you? I said, and it'll be fine. I said, because when God knows me, I know I'm going to make my journey home one day. Thank you so
God bless
much.
You. Let's give her a good Dublin welcome, okay? Thank you, Ronella.
I forgot to tell you, Jimmy and his brother, all of them thought I was the granny. I stayed down here so much on the weekend.
You. Thank you. Took a lot of courage to do that, and we appreciate it so much. I wanted you to get to know her, and she needs our love and our prayers, but you can tell she's going to be ministering. She's going to be giving out, and what an awesome thing. Well, praise the Lord. We've really seen our sermon in shoes here this morning, but we want to talk a minute about revering the name of the Lord God and respecting Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We live in a world today that is so angry and so messed up, don't we? And people are taking the name of God so carelessly. And questioning God. And that's one of the reasons I wanted us to meet this lady this morning. I think she'd have a few reasons to question God and wonder why this and why that. A number of tragedies in her life. But it's okay to ask God, but it's not okay to be angry with God. It's not cool, as the world would say. It's sinful and it's wrong and it's to be avoided and dreaded. And a lot of it is connected to our misunderstanding and or complete unwillingness to accept that God has promised only so many things. He has promised us food and clothing and shelter and grace to help in the time of need and suffering. We just have to say that. It's a part of the gospel. We are called to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. One supposes that because God has all power, Matthew 28:18, all power is given me in heaven and in earth, that He can overrule nature, that He should on our behalf. But since the fall of man, He chooses in most cases not to reverse the laws of nature and the results of the fall of man in the garden. I think of those words many times in John chapter 11, 21 and 32. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Same thing, she said it twice in the 32nd verse. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Well, so he gets the flack, he gets the criticism for the suffering of mankind. Yet, God is the eternal arch enemy of suffering and death. John 11, verse 35, Jesus says, Jesus wept with those who wept, and He still weeps with those who weep. And in that 25th verse of John 11, we read is the resurrection and the life. And as someone has said, instead of blaming God and serving the devil, we need to blame the devil where the blame really goes and serve God. Well, since the devil is in the destroying business and the damning business, why don't folks say, I've asked the question, I don't guess the little ones are in here now, devil de it. Why don't we say that? He is the one who's in that business. And why do people use the name of God? God should be left out of such expressions. And good people are not in the damning business. Amen? Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for He is come to seek and to save, not to damn. That is Satan's business. John 3, 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to damn the world, to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He has not come to damn us. He is the bridge between us and eternal life. He is the restoration of eternal life to us. We need a fresh glimpse of the glory, power, and majesty of God. I'm reminded of the vision that Isaiah saw in that 6th chapter of Isaiah. And He is the God who lives today, is the God of Isaiah. He's the God of Job who said, I don't believe it is God who's causing all this suffering. But if it were, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. That's the spirit of this lady we heard this morning. He's the God before whom Ananias and Sapphira fell dead, trivializing holy things, presuming on God. Chuck Colson said in the last page of his book on the church, the book named The Body, we live in a world that has lost the holy dread of the Creator and exchanged the truth for a lie. I often Ask suffering saints if they're mad at God. And so often I hear what we heard this morning, almost without exception, with the people of God. That is what we hear. I'm not angry with you, Lord. I love you. I worship you. I exalt your holy name. Well, the Muslims have occupied the birthplace of Jesus in Bethlehem, and it's occupied right now by those who hate us and who hate our Lord Christ. The Jews of Israel admit that they're baffled that Christians around the world haven't poured into Israel to save their holy shrine from the Muslims. But both the Jews and the Muslims don't understand that we Christians, as much as we don't like them desecrating Jesus' birthplace, don't find our identity in any old or any new building anywhere made with hands. We find our identity in a risen Savior who sits alive this very moment at the right hand of God on high. And what is sacred is His name. God. I sometimes have found myself in the presence of others saying, Jesus. And I would have to pause and point out, I'm not cussing. I'm talking to Him. And I think we're going to use it in one way or the other. Again, with that program, what do you call it, that's on after we get home on Sunday night? House Extreme Makeover. Last week, we were able to take in a little bit of that, or in recent days. And all the family said, oh my gosh. Excuse me for saying that. I don't usually say that. I immediately said to Betty, all right, there's a church family. And we don't endorse saying, oh golly, or oh my gosh. But no one in the home said, oh my God. Why? Because they have been taught that the name of God is sacred. And it's only to be given with the utmost of respect. So, when we use it, we're either cussing or praying. And guess which way God wants us to use His name. In this day, when people are so relatively ignorant of the things of God, well, I say it with fear, but only to illustrate what I'm referring to. Oh my God seems to be the ultimate funny line with Hollywood and New York. It baffles me. It frustrates me. It breaks my heart. And it does yours too, doesn't it? And it does yours too, doesn't it? Amen. And every spineless mimic who doesn't have the courage to stand on his or her own two feet and stand up for God and respect God. I love good humor. I think I have a very good sense of humor. But I'm at a loss to find one thing funny in, oh my God. It's not humor. It's just a subtle form of God bashing. It just verifies that this generation is degenerate and godless, apostate and lost, in the clutch of Satan and his forces. I don't think there's anything funny about it. I think it is a result of giving ourselves over to reprobate living and thinking. But we Christians revere the name of God and the holy name of Jesus. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. We do cherish His name. That song goes, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the sunshine after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. May all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. Now, we don't go around policing the world and saying, shouldn't say that. But what we try to do is lift and exalt our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus and the blessed Holy Spirit, and be walking examples, as we saw before us here this morning, of what God can do in a life in some of the hardest and most hopeless circumstances. What do you say? By His grace, let's be good role models, examples of Jesus Christ. Well, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Let's stand together and sing the chorus again. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your wonderful mercy and love upon mankind. We're glad that we've been included. And how our heart aches and breaks when we see the condition of the world around us, the crime and the immorality seems more degrading by the day. But we are thankful that you have called us to be lights in this dark world and to exemplify to a hungry, thirsting world after Christ that Jesus does live, and He still is in the life-changing business. We thank you for the hope that we can give to the world that Jesus is strong on the behalf of sinners to save them and to turn them around. Will you anoint us, Lord, as we leave this place today with your wonderful presence and power and beauty? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.